This is Glow in the Dark Radio. The science fiction podcast with original independent science fiction written and performed by Mike Luoma, with music by Kevin MacLeod, The Vatican Assassin Trilogy, and The Adventures of Alibi Jones by Mike Luoma are available in ebook, trade paperback, and audiobook wherever you find your books online. Get links and details at glowinthedarkradio.com. This is the science fiction podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, Mike Luoma, and I've got Chapter 20, Vatican Assassin, the 15th Anniversary Edition, on the way. As BC tries to wrap things up at Fortune Station, the light is dead. BC's mission has been completed by Father Kim, who worried that a diminishing of the light would destabilize their cult. So he took him out himself and provided BC with an alibi while he did the deed. That alibi being in the form of his daughter Ruth, who spent the night with BC. Kim has engineered it too, so that BC has been declared the new light, who will mostly rule in absentia, while Kim continues to really run the place. Now, to complete this charade, BC must say a funeral for the light before he can head home. To Lunar Prime? It's funny, it now feels like home. Heading back to the moon. That's on the way as we get into Chapter 20 of Vatican Assassin, the 15th Anniversary Edition, on this episode of Glow in the Dark Radio. Not much in the way of book news this week. I'll just remind you that you can get Alibi Jones now, the audiobook, for free at many outlets. Not Audible and Amazon, unfortunately, but most others. Same is true for the ebook of Vatican Assassin, the book you're listening to on this podcast. That ebook is now available for free in most places except for Amazon. Please consider help supporting my science fiction efforts, my podcasting and such, by becoming a patron. You can go directly to patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio, or just go to glowinthedarkradio.com and click where it says Become a Patron, and find out more. $2, $5, and $10 a month are the different levels. And for that support, you get stuff in return. I've got a special patrons-only podcast. They're getting these chapters a few weeks ahead of time. I've also got a special story web and timeline that patrons can get into and check out and get much more depth in the whole universe. So again, if you want to get in on that, go to patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio. Or just head over to glowinthedarkradio.com and look for the Patreon link. Up next, we'll get into Chapter 20 of Vatican Assassin, the 15th Anniversary Edition, on Glow in the Dark Radio.
What the hell is this, the wonderful Billy Flynn?
Just some podcast that's supposed to be geeky. Podcasting's Rich Siegfried.
Did you try it?
I'm not going to try it. You try it.
Screw that noise. I'm not going to try it. Hey, Flynnstress, let's get Mikey.
Do you mean critically acclaimed comedy rock star Mikey Mason, who hosts the Beer Powered Time Machine podcast?
Yeah.
But he won't listen. He hates everything.
Hi, I'm critically acclaimed comedy rock star Mikey Mason. I don't often listen to podcasts, but when I do, make mine Geek Radio Daily.
Hey man, that's a different promo.
Between love and madness lies Geek Radio Daily.
That's kinda accurate.
There are some things money can't buy.
GRD is free online.
Maybe she's born with it. Maybe it's Geek Radio Daily.
We'll take it.
Geek Radio Daily. All the geek without the weight. GeekRadioDaily.com.
Thank you.
Now here's Chapter 20 of Vatican Assassin, the 15th Anniversary Edition, on Glow in the Dark Radio. BC manages to disentangle himself from the middle of the love-in and looks around for Kim, who has somehow managed to disappear. BC sees Kim's bald dome flash around a corner in front of him over towards Kim's rooms. He follows and knocks on the door to Kim's room. "Come in, Campion." The door opens. BC enters. Father Kim is inside taking off his outer robe. BC waits until the door closes behind him to speak. "You poured it on pretty thick back there, didn't you? You aren't helping your cause much. Your protests weren't even all that convincing. I wouldn't have believed you. Oh, no, don't pick me. I had to provide the drama. These people are used to it. How'd you get the body to sit up like that? And his hand to hit me? Felt more like a slap than a blessing, though." "I didn't do anything. That just happened. I thought I'd use it. Improvise." BC gets a serious chill and shakes it off. "Spooky, isn't it, Campion?" "That was weird. I felt better when I thought you had done it." "I thought he was long dead. I used the drop dead so it would look like a heart attack. He was already cold." "Wow, that's even freakier. So what now, then?" "The supply ship arrives in 2 days. We got their confirmation this morning. They're en route. They'll take you back to the moon when they return, and I'll take care of things here, as we agreed." "Trying to get rid of me so soon? Don't you want to bask in the new light?" "Look, we agreed. I help you, you help me. I can run this place a lot more effectively with you as an absentee, Holy Father. I'm glad I fit your plan. Mine wasn't working so well." "You were the right man at the right time, Father. Most of what I said was true, just enhanced," Kim says. "The two before you were slower, not as sharp. I couldn't use them. Look, there's one more thing you have to do. You have to officiate at the Light's funeral before you leave. Do you have any clue what to do?"
"No."
"More lessons, then. We'll hold the funeral mass at 10 a.m. tomorrow. That gives us plenty of time to teach you the Catholic funeral mass."
"Can't wait."
BC feels as filled in and informed as he can be when he prepares to say the mass the next morning. Kim has been grilling him on what to do when, what comes first, next, last. They've been going over just what BC has to know since the early morning hours. "You have to win them over with this. There are still many doubts despite my assurances and the love you felt last night. Your sermon is of vital importance. Do not falter," Kim tells him as they prepare for the service the next morning.
"Gotcha."
The mass goes as it should, smoothly, up to the sermon. BC gets his chance to address the congregation. He walks across the dais to the podium, clears his throat, looks out across the Light's followers, and then begins. "I came among you as an outsider, and still, you took me in. I came among you as a sinner, and still, you took me in. I came among you as a killer, and still, you took me in. Where I sowed hatred, you reaped love. How did you do it? How did you save a wretched soul like mine? I can only say I have seen the light." "The light," BC gestures at the open casket before him, "showed me so much, showed me the error of my ways, and showed me the infinite patience and the infinite love
BC pauses for effect, of God himself, of our Lord Jesus. He taught me what it was to truly follow our Lord. If I had a shovel, I'd shovel in the morning. My only regret is that I could not spend more time with him. If I had only seen my error, the fault in my ways, sooner. He had so much yet to teach. I have so much yet to learn. We all are left now without the light to shine and lead the way. And we could get lost. I know Father Kim thinks I'm the new light, but I don't know. I'll try to shine. I tell you, there is light within each of us, the light of Christ, and it's there for each of us to find. We need to shine for each other. We need to shine for ourselves. We need to see that the light is not dead, no. The light is alive inside of each and every one of us. We just gotta let it shine. We need to help each other shine now, especially, for it will seem dark now that we have lost the light. I spent deep, prayerful time with the light, time almost out of time. I can almost be there with him again right now, if I allow myself. His love is still there. I can still feel it, real and strong. He loved so deeply and so well that his love continues to be with us, even though his body has ceased to breathe. God is love, and this the light has shown us. This is what he illuminated. He showed us the sheer power of love in our lives is unlimited, for it is the power of God. How purely can you love? How well? How strongly? This was his challenge. He often quoted to me the first letter of John. God is love, Campion. Trying to teach me what truly following what Jesus taught really meant. The words of 1 John offer us a powerful challenge. We must love each other here and now in this life, or we are not living as Jesus intended. We find our eternal life in this love. This is the essence of the message. The light loved us all so well, so purely, so truly, that he is with us still whenever we think of him in love. Think of the light. Remember his love. Can you feel it? Do you feel him? He is with us still, I assure you. With us now. And we must not forget him. BC bows his head, looking down at the body in the casket. Father Kim has called me the new light, but truly, none can replace him. If I have been chosen to follow him, I can only hope it is the light himself choosing our next step, our further path. For I feel called to a different path. I feel called to spread the news, the love of the light, to the rest of the world. The light came to you, to us, to draw us together, to make us the strong mustard seed, the kernel about to explode into abundant life. I must now take the message back into the world. I will not be staying among you, but shining the light unto the world, to bring the message of the light to those who still labor on in error, as I did, those who still exist in darkness. The crowd is shocked, surprised. Murmurs and gasps are followed by whispering. BC can hear and sense their unease. All righty, Kim. Let's hope this works. Father Kim will lead in my stead while I am not here. We all know he can keep us together, even as I am apart from you. I will not be able to come back often, I fear, for I fear to draw attention to us here, to the true cradle of our faith, until we are sure the world is ready for us. Make no mistake, my brothers and sisters, this is our Eden. We have not left the garden, and yet the light leads me on to the greater path. I just dare not lead those who would ruin this place back here to hurt you, my new family, this body of Christ, this community built by the light. We will continue to shine in His never-ending love. We will miss you, our light, but we can see you shine on. BC beams at the crowd. Father Kim looks pleased. The crowd sounds uplifted, happy. I think they like me. Now for the rest of this mass thing. The rest of the funeral mass cruises by for BC. The tough part is over. He's glad to get it done, get the whole thing over with. Glad to get off that altar. It's still not my element. Father Kim comes up. You handled yourself well. Those were true words you spoke, whether you spoke them in truth or not. Thanks, I think. BC walks among the people and around Fortune Station after the mass, killing time before the supply ship arrives. The ship only docks for an hour, so once it's here, he's on his way home. He looks at his cell one last time, traces his path to the bathroom, and walks one full circle around the donut. Kim finds him in his wanderings. The ship is here. I'll walk you to the dock. Come on, you'll be back on the moon in about 2 days, probably. Kim looks at the ground, then up at BC. You've changed, haven't you? You're different than when you arrived. I can see it. We really did get to you, in spite of yourself, didn't we? You think so? Let him have his illusions. He did my job for me, after all. Yes, I do. I can see it in your eyes. Or maybe I've become too much like you, Kim says, pausing. Now that I've killed, you don't seem so evil. We all do what we have to do. Is that so? Here's the dock. The ship is unloading. BC sees the captain directing the cargo off and walks up to him. Kim introduces BC to Captain Ngawe.
You're going back with us then, eh?
Ngawe says to BC as he shakes his hand. That's the plan.
We leave in a half an hour, no later. I recommend getting on board now. There is a cabin ready for you.
Thanks, I will.
Through the hatch on the left side, then right as you get inside. Find a crewman and ask for the guest stateroom. They'll tell you where to go.
Thanks. My departure's a lot less eventful than my arrival, that's for sure.
Goodbye, Father Kim. I leave the place in your capable hands, right where it's always been.
Thanks, Campion. Shine on brightly. Check in now and then to help keep it legit, okay?
Sure.
See ya. BC ducks in through the hatch and airlock into a nicer ship than the Paladin was. The guest stateroom is roomy and complete with a bed, desk, and nightstand with an attached refresher. There's even a viewport. BC sits and watches their departure out his stateroom window. He sees the dark silhouette of Fortune Station melt into the blanket of stars as they pull away. This ship is faster than the Paladin, and Kim said they'll take a more direct route to Lunar Prime. 2 days. 2 days and I'll be home. Funny to think of the moon as home. Used to be Rome. Before that, Boston for a little while. And the Finch Station. Lunar Prime feels more like home than any of them did. I don't know why. BC asks to use the radio, but he's informed they're traveling silent. Got to keep Fortune Station off the proverbial radar. He lies down in his stateroom and thinks about the last 3 months. I might not be a great light for these people, but despite what I said to them, their last one wasn't that great anyway, either. So much hatred masquerading as love, pretending to be religion. BC gets up and finds his way to the ship's common area to get something to eat. The captain is sitting at a table playing solitaire. BC sits down at the table and asks the captain how soon they'll reach the moon. He laughs.
The moon? We aren't going to the moon. We always take off and land from Earth. Who told you we were going to the moon? We land in Panama at the spaceport in 2 days.
Kim, that bastard.
They land in Panama.
BC catches a quick connector to Vatican City. He's been trying to contact the home office since Captain Ngawe began allowing communication the day before, but they won't authorize or receive his transmissions.
Not a good sign.
BC checks out the news on his connecting flight. He's been gone for 3 months. The war hasn't intensified any. From what he can gather from the reports, no real territorial shifts have come about. Everyone still has their same holdings and principalities. When he gets into Vatican City, his ID only gets him inside to a point. His appearance is an issue. With his wild hair and beard, they don't recognize him at first, but his ID does check out. Finally, they usher him into the inner sanctum of Pope Peter's Vatican to see the big guy. Peter stands in informal robes in a small private sitting room in the papal residence. He looks BC up and down as BC stands in front of him, looking like something out of the New Testament.
You flew over from Panama looking like that? Well, I don't suppose anyone would recognize you. And you decided you had to grace us with a personal appearance. How nice, BC.
Peter switches from false appreciation to a scathing condemnation.
I thought I told you not to come here.
Good to see you, too, BC mumbles.
It's still good to see you, my boy. We have been worried about you, BC. You know we couldn't send anybody after you, of course. We hoped you'd find your way out again. You were gone a long time this time.
Comforting.
Still, you shouldn't have come here. You know we have to be extra careful in your case, BC. You've been off the radar, but we still have those same worries about you, about your vulnerabilities, your cover. You could be blackmailed. They know you now, who you are, what you've done. You've become our weak link, BC.
Have I? Have I really?
How much does he really believe this? How much do I believe it? If that woman really blew my cover, then why hasn't it been blown? I mean, like, wide open. Come on.
Well, you do seem to be. Many would look at you as such, though now to look at you, well, I doubt they'd even recognize you.
If you'd accepted my communication, I wouldn't have had to come here in the first place. Look, I know you have your concerns. We all know what happened on the moon. And I know you think I'm now a liability to the organization. Let me show you otherwise. Look at the facts. The UIN has tried to tie us to McIntyre's assassination. They have failed. They have nothing on me. They've mentioned nothing. I've come through the crisis. I've done more than that. I laid the foundation for a productive relationship for us with the new lunar governor, Mark Edwards.
Yes, I know about that. You know, he's been calling me about you. A very persistent man. We told him you were okay. Seems you have connected with him. Very good.
I turned those cultists on that station around for us, too. The light is dead and gone, and I, BC says with a flourish, am the new light. Those people worship me. I've proven my value here, clearly.
You have, you have. Fortune Station has been secured, eh? The light dead? Excellent. You are a valuable agent, an asset to the Vatican, and a true soldier for Christ.
So, what now?
You go back to the moon. Spend a couple weeks here first. Recuperate. Get a shave and a haircut. Please. Enjoy Italy for a while, but then go back. We don't know how secure your cover is. Keep cultivating the PR position and flack for the Cardinal. Cultivate a relationship with Edwards. Get him solid on our side. Develop the situation. Most of all, maintain a low profile and see what happens. Keep laying low for now. In the meantime, I'll try to think of ways we can strengthen your cover.
Great. Wonderful.
Marino, show Campy into some temporary quarters, would you? Goodbye for now, BC. We'll speak again before you go back to the moon. Thank you. And good work again on Fortune.
Yeah. Thanks.
That was Chapter 20 of Vatican Assassin, the 15th Anniversary Edition, on Glow in the Dark Radio. Well, Kim lied and, of course, sent BC back to Earth, not to the moon. And BC made his way back to Rome, and the Pope wasn't too psyched about that either. Hey, yeah, good to see you, BC. At least, you know, BC got the job done, kind of, that he was supposed to do, the light's dead. But, yeah, they're not too psyched to see him at the Vatican. Ah, well. We'll see how things go for BC at the Vatican, and see how he does returning back to Lunar Prime, or attempting to, in our next episode of Glow in the Dark Radio. Again, you can support this podcast by becoming a patron, by going to patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio. I've got three different levels, $2, $5, and $10 a month. Help support the podcast and my science fiction efforts. And that is all for this time around. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Thank you for listening to Glow in the Dark Radio. Glow in the Dark Radio. This podcast presentation is copyright 2021 by Michael F. Luoma and is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 4.0 International License. CC by NCND 4.0. Music by Kevin MacLeod. You can find his work at Acompetech.com and filmmusic.io. Mike's books are available in ebook, paperback, and audiobook wherever you find books online. Get links and more details at glowinthedarkradio.com and mikeluoma.com. This has been a presentation of Glow in the Dark Radio.